is going on, guys? My name is Steve Oatley. This show is called Freight Broker Live. It is the one and only talk show run by an actual freight broker. One that's a little bit tired today, so that's why I decided to just start at 7, get it done with. I like this song. It would be better if there's some screaming music in it, but whatever. Or some screaming yelling. I can think of lyrics for it, but I'm not going to. There's going to be no singing until this coronavirus is done and my wife and kids are out of my house. But this song's pretty nice, right? Yeah. All right. Well, let's get started anyway. So today is March 24th. It's 7:01 on the East Coast. Who cares what time it is elsewhere? Because I don't. Like I said, I'm in kind of a weird mood. I mean, I've been writing stories all day. I've been working. I've had meetings. I've been doing everything. You know, the working remote life isn't really that big of a deal to me because I work from home every day. So it's not that big. But to start off with, the very first thing we're going to talk about today is, did I get it right? Right hand? Yeah, Trucker Tools. Check this video out. I'm just going to ad lib through it. So Trucker Tools is an app that every driver should have on their phone. You can look up truck stops. You can look up rest areas. You can look up medical clinics. You can look up fuel prices and route optimizers. You can do everything on this little app. It's quite impressive. My suggestion for everyone, go download the app. It does all sorts of fun stuff. And I've got a couple of seconds left. But you can also track. Brokers use it too. It's awesome. Install it. It's free and awesome. And now you could tell my kid's been watching the YouTube because it's got some tractor thing next. That's
this
fun.
Is our new 10.
Hold on. I got to mute it. My son likes tractors and all that good stuff. So anyway, I'm going to talk about news. You guys know about the coronavirus. Clearly, everybody does in the world. We have 52,000. What is it? 52,000. I can't even read that. It's too far away. 52,983 confirmed cases, more than half, or just under half, actually, are in New York alone, which is pretty intense. We have 685 deaths. Now, that's up about 100 from this morning. 370 people have recovered. I found out some interesting stuff in the press conference at Cuomo, whatever his name is, from New York, the governor there. He said that I forgot what the percentage was. It was like of 3,000 people in New York City that have the coronavirus, 754 of them are in the hospital. And I believe, and I could be wrong, but I believe he said several hundred of those 700 that are in the hospital, or maybe I'm wrong. I think it was actually 3,000 in the hospital, 700 of those people that were in the hospital. And I could be wrong on these numbers. I know. You got to be credible and say appropriate numbers. I'm going to touch on that too, because that's one of the reasons I'm in the mood I'm in. But at any rate, a huge amount of people are in critical condition because of this. I think that's the one thing we don't really talk a lot about. You know, we cover the coronavirus cases, we cover the deaths, but we don't really cover the immense amount of people that are on ventilators. Have you ever wondered why the focus of the conversation is on ventilators? It's because their lungs take such a toll. It's insane. They say that even if you get the coronavirus and you recover from the coronavirus, if you do get ill from it, because there's young people and healthy people that just carry it around, the younger and healthy or the people that are hospitalized for it will suffer a 20 to 30% lung capacity reduction, which in itself is pretty damn scary if you ask this guy. But It's crazy. So today we talked, or I wrote a bunch of articles today. I was trying to stay away from the TQL thing. So I'm going to talk about that real quick, and then I'm just going to kind of put that to bed for now. There's going to be more stories coming out, but I realized I got hung up in just trying to break the story and be you know... The thing about TQL, and I'm only going to talk about it for a second. So, guys, if you're here just to jump on the TQL bandwagon, it's not going to happen. Thing about TQL is every company has a right to fire people. the way they fired people and the lack of respect that they showed their employees, whether it's 100 or 700. If you're curious how I got the 700 number, I wrote an article last night, put it out late last night, and it talks about all the people I surveyed and it talks about the numbers. You know, after the first 37, I think it was, people that I surveyed, 11 of those all confirmed 700, with several that are currently in the company in the capacity to actually know the number that was terminated. So I know other people said, oh, just throwing out a number, which is stupid, because one of the things they said is for shock factor. You guys want to talk about shock factor? That's a warning to other people, because I'm going to start to stop letting things go. I'm getting to the point where I have a little bit of play here, and I'm going to start coming after people that you know, try to attack my credibility specifically. I'm not in competition with anybody in what I report on, because what I report on is actually relevant to the industry. I know there's been a bunch that's kind of changed, but I highlight the things that are important. The reason I covered the TQL story is because hundreds of people weren't getting anywhere. They weren't heard. Think about it. The only people that cover that TQL story, I believe, are myself and Freight Waves. That's it. Other people, the Cincinnati Business Journal today published an article about TQL, about the class action lawsuit. Any of you guys, any carriers out here that got that notice from TQL that said, hey, your information may have been compromised. Well, one carrier also got that same notice on the 27th of February. If you remember, I broke that story as well. But one carrier got super pissed off about it, and he hired an attorney, and they filed a lawsuit the very next day. Obviously, he's trying to go out for money. Whatever. That's my opinion. I can't back that up either. Allegedly is the button. Whoa. I just punched my thing there. Hold on. I think I may have messed my computer up. Bear with me a second. What did I do? Hold on. I got to try to fix something because I did something here. There we go. I don't know what I did. I hit my computer. Whatever. So I screwed up everything, didn't I? I got to fix one other thing here just to make it so we keep that coronavirus thing going on the screen. So, yeah, this attorney ended up, or this guy ended up writing this. Sorry, man. Let me try to just get this off my screen. Why is it in this mode? I'm just going to minimize this and get rid of it because I don't even know why it's up there. There, whatever. Sorry about that. It's weird. The whole thing is just kind of sad, to be honest. So with the data breach, everybody knows about TQL's data breach. And if not, you probably check back in your spam folders. On the 27th, they sent an email out to all carriers and said, hey, listen, if you've used our online portal to manage your business, you are subject. Your information could have possibly been breached, and hackers may have your bank account information, your social, whatever information you put in there. Well, one carrier decided that he didn't like that very much, and he saw an opportunity to file a lawsuit, which he did. Now, I know Freight Waves put an article out about that. I did end up looking up the case because I was like, oh, wait, I'm on a TQL kick. Let me just write an article about this, too. And then I decided I don't care. I don't want to prop that up. But it was funny because I looked up the case, and actually inside the case filing, which is funny that the other article didn't mention it that much, but they mentioned my article in their federal court filing, which is kind of funny. They mentioned Freight Broker Live in the federal because I broke the news. So it's crazy. I mean, TQL, if you're watching, you guys owe, you know, as many people as you laid off, whether it's 100 or 700 people, you owe them an apology. And you have the power to apologize to them the right way. So just do it. That's my opinion. I got a lot of flack from that. I got current TQL employees that were like, oh, it's not true. I've got other media people jumping on me because I put a number to it, which is funny because everybody initially put a number to it. If you recall, because that's the thing, my computer logs every single page that I view just because of the settings I have on it. So when I heard something yesterday, I'm like, what? So I went back and then I realized other people edited their articles out so that I don't know. It's just stupid. No, I'm not in competition with anybody in terms of media. I report on what's current and relevant in the industry. I don't care to report on shit that's not relevant to me, nor will I ever. You know, that's it. With that said, I'm going to stop with the TQL stuff for now. Oh, here's another thing, too. And I want to apologize on behalf of all freight brokers and on behalf of anybody that gives a shit about the industry at all to all the TQL employees who, soon after being fired, soon after lost their insurance, soon after were reminded that they have a non-compete that is completely restrictive and stupid. Yes, and TQL does go after you for those non-competes. I looked it up yesterday. There were roughly 22 cases where TQL is going after companies and individuals that were hired. Now, if I do get some information from an attorney I talk to, I will be writing another article about TQL, but I'm waiting to see if I get the information because it gets worse. But at any rate, if you're a carrier and you're looking at joining the little, what I call fraudulent, you know, class action lawsuit, I can't say it, allegedly, whatever, you know, that's my personal opinion. Someone filed a class action lawsuit the day after the data breach was announced. So therefore, they're just going out for money. I did talk to the owner of that company too, the Charles guy. I talked to him too, and he just got all tight-lipped. You could tell he was at the kind of, yeah, whatever. But I talked to him as well. I looked up his company name because it's super easy to find. He's just a small guy. He's like, you're calling me on Sunday. And I said, well, you answered your phone. Answer my questions now. Like, what are you mad that I called? You filed a big lawsuit against a company. You're going to get a lot more calls pretty soon. Anyway, but that's it with TQL. They could have handled it better. Speaking of handle it better, J.B. Hunt provides a $500 bonus to its staff for basically working through this coronavirus outbreak, which is pretty gnarly. At $500, could they have possibly done more? Yeah, but hey, it's $500. They're still paying their drivers, the drivers and the warehouse and the stockers and all the people that get this $500 are going to be extremely happy. They got a bonus for doing their job. You know, it's pretty interesting. CEO John Roberts said all of our employees have gone above and beyond the call of action during this crisis, and nearly all field level frontline employees and certainly all of our drivers are required in person and have upheld the high standards of our company. They have kept in place the evolving supply chain needs of our customers in the face of great uncertainty. These bonuses serve as a token of our appreciation for their service and hard work during these unprecedented times. And that's literally what these are. These are unprecedented times. We're up to 17 states that have stay-at-home orders. 4 other states have restrictions. They've essentially ordered non-essential businesses to close, which is gnarly in itself. You know, we have companies and businesses that closed. They closed all the gyms in Florida, and they didn't just close the gyms in Florida till like April or something. They closed it till May 8th. It sucks. I'm going to look skinny by the time this coronavirus is done, and I'm not even going to have gotten sick from it because I'm young and healthy. But I'm going to have to start doing cardio and stuff. I know you guys don't want to hear about the gym stuff, but that was pretty sad. You asked my wife yesterday. I had a minor nervous breakdown as soon as I found out that. Because originally the gym was closed. We're all going to try to, you know, be cool, but be coy. But it didn't work. They got worried that bad stuff was going to happen, so they closed it down. But in terms of the states that have stay-at-home orders, we have California, Connecticut, Delaware, which was new today, Hawaii, Illinois, Indiana, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Michigan, New Jersey, New Mexico, New York, Ohio, Oregon, Washington, West Virginia, Wisconsin, and other states that have stopped non-essential travel or have stopped non-essential business from being open: Maryland, Nevada, Virginia, and Kentucky, several cities, including a lot down here in South Florida, as well as Orlando and Atlanta, have also instituted their own stay-at-homes, or Orlando put a curfew on. And a lot of them, like if you read through this article that I have on my website, sorry, it's very zoomed in right here. It's on my website. If you go, where is it? You can just go to the coronavirus tab that's over on the end, and then you'll see it talks about the different restrictions in each state. And some of them have big fines. Denver's on a lockdown as well, I guess, starting today. And I was told by my buddy over there that they have a $999 fine if you're caught outside of curfew. But everybody, I don't know, do I have one? Every one of you guys should have one of these bad boys. This is a this right here is a designated essential critical infrastructure worker by U.S. Department of Homeland Security ID. So see, you can see that's my face right there. And here's where it says that I'm exempt as a member of the media. And every one of you guys are also exempt and considered essential and critical parts of the workforce. So everyone can make their own. They're very simple to make, and they're a legal binding document. So they will keep you out of trouble if you're stopped in a place and they're like, what are you doing here? So like I said, I wrote articles the other day and I said, listen, if you guys are making pickups and deliveries and locations, make sure you call. Call the shippers, call the receivers before you even move out. After you pick up, call the receiver again. 20 minutes later, call the receiver again. Follow the news. Make sure you keep this page updated, or I'm updating the page as soon as the new state closes down. So you'll see, and you can keep using that as a reference. I've spent a lot of time on the back end of the website, making it much quicker. I don't know if anyone noticed that, but because I wrote the TQL article, we had a huge amount of traffic over the weekend and it kept crashing my website. So I rebuilt the whole back end and now it's working as well as it's going to for a while. But one of the things I had to chop off were the WooCommerce. So the store is no longer there and the courses are no longer there. The Logistics Academy, I had to pull those off because they were bugged on my site. I'll fix it later. Anyway, but yeah, that's one of the things I talked about a little bit, and I'm not going to talk about it too much because frankly, I don't really know how big of a deal it plays. But the FMCSA also exempted carriers that have expiring CDLs or medical cards because every place is closed. DMVs are closed. You can't go renew a license. You can't do anything. My question for that, and it would be a question for an insurance agent, is the insurance going to cover an exempted person? Are they going to cover an exempted driver? Are states, well, I guess states DMVs or states DOT officers during level ones and level twos and all that stuff, they're still going to have to because the FMCSA mandate, it ranks higher than the state level. So it's interesting, but I'm curious about the insurance aspect because as a lot of drivers, because we heard, you know, Beaver Express, I think that's who they are out in Colorado or wherever the hell they were. That was a 70 truck fleet that shut down. You know, there's a bunch of other drivers that we're starting to see, and I'm not reporting on them. Just like I said, I'm not going to highlight all the negativity around the industry. I don't want to. You know, the one thing I'm going to report on is good shit that happens to the industry. Like, did you know that rates are up across the board, even for flatbed? It's pretty crazy, right? Load volumes for reefer were through the roof. Load rates, according to OTR Analytics. Now, if you don't know who that is, yet it's OTR Capital, but they have analytics that customers get for free. So you guys should make sure to check out OTR if you need a factoring company. But anyway, according to them, based on the previous week of invoices they saw, flatbed had a 4.4% increase week over week in terms of what the total invoice that the actual numbers. So this isn't like, you know, 15 days ago. This isn't a fancy predictive rating. This is straight numbers from invoices that they've factored. So they have 4.4, I believe it was. I'm kind of going off my head for van. I think flatbed was right around 4% too, but reefer rates were up 11% from what they were last week. And I don't even know how much they were from the week before. And it correlates with DAT because you could see DAT, the DAT information, DAT's trend lines trended up across all modes as well. There were a crap ton of van loads, a crap ton of reefer loads, not as many flatbed loads, but it was still a positive number. The flatbed rates didn't really go up, which is kind of to be expected because you have a bunch of people now that are just running, you know, this essential freight, this exempt freight and making more money. I personally know of about six of you guys that watch my show pretty regularly that are either switching to box or really entertaining it because they're seeing the trend. The trend isn't looking good. in terms of flatbed. And to be honest, I really thought we'd have stuff stockpiled. I mean, I talked to a driver, a fleet owner, dispatcher, whatever, this morning that said that their drivers were waiting, God, what was it? I think he said since Thursday night to get loaded at a meat packing. I think it's Purdue or something like that in some state, Alabama. I forgot where. But they were waiting since Thursday, and this was Monday night, and they still hadn't been loaded. We saw Nestle bottling plant was for water. They had a line of trucks out there, but you know, everything's backed up. You guys know this. Drivers are having a really hard time on the road. And I wasn't trying to chuckle. It's good because I thought you guys all probably saw this thing with a thin gold line for logistics. Here's the thing, and I'm going to say, I think it's a good thing. FreightWaves put out this thing today. It was thin gold line. So, you know, like United States, not this shirt, but some of the other shirts that I wear, they have the American flag on it. You know, where it's thin blue line, thin red line, thin green line for security, thin, you know, whatever, orange line for construction workers. I don't know. But FreightWaves has created one, which I think is good. The principle is good of it, of thin gold line. But instead of, you know, just being truckers, or they put all logistics people. I wouldn't go that quite that far, because here's the thing. And this is going to tick off you brokers. And I, again, if anyone's never watched my show before, I'm a freight broker. I actually am booking freight every now and then. But I own my agency and we do. You know, I broker. That's the show's called Freight Broker Life. I'm a freight broker. But they included all logistics personnel in the thin gold line. I wouldn't do that. Warehousemen, maybe. Would I consider freight brokers or office staff or support staff as frontline workers in terms of a crisis like this? No, I wouldn't. Not at all. Why? Because we're not. I mean, we're sitting in an office, or we're sitting at home, or we have the comforts of being here. That the reason why the thin lines, whatever the color is because they're put at harm's way, and you're giving respect to someone that's put in harm's way. A freight broker that sits in their house, or like me, for example, sitting in my house, I don't deserve any of that shit. You know what I mean? Or any credit for that matter. That's my personal belief. I think the gesture is good. And if I didn't have whatever going on, I would share the shit out of it myself. You know, if it said specifically truckers, because that's who I think it is. I thought, and it would be funny because you got the thin gold line. Imagine if they said that's the thin gold line is for truckers and the thin brown line is for brokers. I think carriers would love that one, wouldn't you guys? Get it? Brown for full of No, I'm just kidding. But it was a good gesture. You know, the article was good. The only thing it's, you know, I don't necessarily think that us from working from home deserve the same credit in any regard than the drivers that are out there away from your families, literally being in contact. You're buying fuel. You're doing all this stuff. You're getting out of your truck. You could take precautions, but you know how I'm not going to get the coronavirus? Because I don't leave my house. You know, especially now the gym's closed. I seriously am not going to leave my house. I stepped out into my yard today. That's it. And my kids and my wife and nobody, we're not leaving. We're stuck here. So if we get it, that's because this thing is airborne and it's coming in like, you know, one of those old horror movies where the smoke comes in and just goes up your nose when you're sleeping. I don't know if you've ever seen those movies, but that's the reason I don't watch horror movies. But it's weird. Call-in line is active, guys. 914-803-4008. I will keep that up. We had, and so you welcome to call in. Talk about whatever you want. Just keep it PC. Try not to be too vulgar. Nana Logistics said, I just want to be paid properly by shipper to properly pay the driver. That's enough of a thank you for me. I don't need no accolades. Sitting in office drinking, lifting kettlebells between loads. I know. It's not a hard job. You know, being a broker, once you get through the getting customers and that hiccup that people have as brokers, once you get through that, man, it's not a hard job. So and just like you just said, no, logistics. I think it's awesome that we as an industry were able to essentially move our entire offices with very minimal effect in the supply chain. Granted, there are companies who've laid off people. Clearly, I've written about that in length. And there are other companies that are struggling with IT infrastructure, which, you know, and but other companies are going to be booming by this stuff. Laz said, can we talk about his bunions? Yeah, you know, because that is what a freight broker has to worry about, bunions, because we aren't on the road. So it just proves my point that when you get a freight broker on here that doesn't have anything to talk about because they're just moving freight. Yeah, it's, again, and I'm not crapping on it at any rate. I think it's good. You know, thin gold line is good, you know, as it relates to, hell, warehouse workers. Or truck drivers, or shit, rest stop workers, those people, or I mean truck stop workers, gas station workers, those guys that have to go clean those bathrooms every day. Those people. Well, that's kind of the thin brown line again, but I don't know. It's I think it's a good gesture, and I probably would have shared it out if it didn't have anything to do with just logistics personnel, because I don't think all logistics personnel fit in that category. You know, I am a logistics person. I've booked loads during coronavirus that customer desperately needed to move medical equipment and stuff like that. Do I deserve a pat on the back for being able to do it? No. You know who does? The driver who, you know, picked it up and who went to the truck stops, and probably every single time he got out of his truck and he's looking at the fuel, you know, the fuel pump, and he's like, God, I don't want to touch that. That's a possible exposure to the coronavirus. Where he walks in and then there's a guy in front of him, a big fat old trucker. That's an exposure. He walks in, tries to go to the bathroom. It's blocked off. He can't eat. Those are the guys that are actually suffering on the road. Not freight brokers. Not even really warehousemen. You know, there was yesterday, I think Business Insider put out a story that an Amazon worker in Oklahoma City who was directly linked to he was a package handler in a warehouse, I believe is what the article said. I could be wrong, but he had tested positive for the coronavirus and he worked all the way up until the 18th. And so I guess he tested positive yesterday or the day before, but he worked until the 18th. So that's bad. 'Cause in my head, my conspiracy theory type of head, we know that Amazon had a worker that tested positive, and he was working at a Queens, New York distribution facility for Amazon. He or she, they don't designate which one it is. But then we have a major, major outbreak in New York City. And I'm like, oh, does Queens distribute to New York City? Is there a connection here? They said this thing lives for 3 hours on cardboard, and now it's up to 24 hours on cardboard. 3 days on like desks and handles and gas pumps and toilet flusher things, although no one probably ever uses those because I certainly don't. But yeah, it's interesting. The whole coronavirus thing is, you know, in the beginning, I didn't think it was a big deal, to be completely honest. I didn't think it was as big of a deal as everyone makes it, which is, it was wrong. It was wrong. You know, it is a big deal. And it's sad. You guys see this. I put this on my website every day. This I put out every Tuesday. I try to get it out in the morning. I call it my state of trucking. And then it's for the week. So it's the past week. So I'm going to run through this until we get a caller in. If you do call in, I'm on a different screen, so just hold on. So I put this out every week. It's comprised of data from OTR. It's comprised of data from DAT trend lines, carrier 411, EPA.gov, all the different information I can get in. So one of the things that's interesting is, yes, trucking companies did close this week. And we know trucking companies did close this week because everybody else reported it. If you noticed, I didn't report it because I don't want to report on that kind of stuff. It doesn't make any sense. Yeah, it sucks. You know, I'm going to report about a broker doing it if they're doing it the wrong way. But there are other brokers who laid people off and I didn't cover it. You realize it's because it's a course of doing business. To me, it's not news. And it doesn't do anything to help our industry. Anyway, but this week in new applications filed by people looking to become brokers, they continue to rise, even from last week. The number of applications for property brokers reported by Carrier 411 rose 11.3% to 187 new applications filed this week. So that means 187 people all decided that while looking at the freight market, seeing how much money was to be made, and they all said, "Ooh, time to jump in and become a freight broker." 187 new applications last week, or this, you know, from yesterday on for previous 7 days. Applications for new property carrying U.S.-based trucking operations also increased 11.5% to 1,788 completed applications for authority. It's crazy, right? That's every week, every single week. There's well over 1,000 people. This one increased, you know, I think it was 600 or 1,600 last week. Now it's 1,788. People want to get into the industry. There's no shortage of new people coming in when companies close. And it's sad. And as someone that says, oh, you know, a lot of people say we have a shortage of capacity and we have driver shortage. We have all this stuff. Not really. Not really. As a broker, I see it, because if it takes me a long time to cover a load, then that area is short on capacity. But if I could post a load out in a relatively bad area and still find trucks to haul that freight, then I think capacity is still, you know, I think we're good. We don't need any more trucks coming in right now. And there's going to be even more, because that's a kicker. Because I know myself, I've looked at trucks recently, you know, in the past couple of weeks. I know another one of you viewers that's currently watching this right now, or may not be, but you just commented a minute ago. He's looking at trucks as well. Why? Because when this coronavirus shit ends, and which it will, and depending on who you want to believe, it could be over by Easter, according to the president, or it could be over by May or June or July, or it could come back because now people are starting to test positive for it again in China. Anyway, we're not even going to talk about that. But it's supposedly, yeah, according to the president and his almighty wisdom, and I'm not, you know, whatever, I'm joking right now. But according to him, he said he's hoping to have it all wrapped up by April, you know, and he said today we beat it and stuff. And I'm like, wait, what is going on? I watch the news every day, like nonstop. It's what's on my headphones every day while I work. Like, my wife thinks I'm listening to music. Nope, I'm listening to the news, but I stay current on all that stuff. And I don't know if we're quite there yet, but it's interesting. So, but a lot of people are looking at getting trucks for when this thing does end and shippers come out and people start buying and all these imports from China are coming in. Cause I don't know how many ports we have closed now, but we have a lower volume of air freight, clearly a lower volume of, you know, ocean freight, you know, trucks are going to start, that volume's going to go down. The load to truck volume is going to tank probably next week is my, you know, unofficial ideas. I think that those will start coming down. We've already seen rates leveling out. That's the kicker too. Rates last week, everyone saw in the beginning of the week, they were good and they're still good. You could still get lucky and pull some money in, but towards Friday and Saturday, they were bad. And now when places are closing, brokers are trying to be, I don't know what they're trying to do, but they're not doing their job, because I've heard of people that go to a shipper only to find out the shipper's closed, or go to a shipper and they're there for a couple hours and then they can't get the freight ready because the shipper is running, you know, on low staff and the broker's not offering truck order not used. Or I've had some people say, oh, this broker's not paying attention. Well, is it on your rate con? No. Well, there's nothing you can do about it. Keep your head up, you know? Just like I said, right now is the time for you guys to cross your T's and dot all your I's. Every single carrier out there should, every single rate con you fill out, you should be putting on there, or even before you fill it out, because you should tell the broker, listen, I'll take this load for your crummy little cheap change that you're offering, but I need you to put some things on that rate con. And they'll say, wait, what? And you say, I need a $75 an hour detention rate after 2 hours. I need a $250 truck order not used, and I need $500 for layover. Because the chances are you're going to get to a location to pick up, and you're going to wait for 28 hours to get loaded like one driver did. And then you're going to go 600 miles and make your delivery on time, and then you're going to wait 38 hours to get offloaded like that same driver did. But he was okay. You know why? Because he got $20 an hour for detention. Think about how much actual money you lost by doing that. And the $20 an hour, whatever. It's probably $40 an hour because that's the standard rate according to Uber. Oh, speaking of Uber, you hear what they did? They made this announcement, the fancy press release, not one that I published either. And I'm a big fan of press releases because they take up space on my website. It's a quick article to put out, keeps the content fresh. So normally I put them out as much as I can. But Uber put one out yesterday. And they're like, hey, any driver who pulls an Uber load, we'll give you a $20 meal credit for Uber Eats. And I was like, well, that's stupid. but then again, whatever. It's a nice gesture for them. But really, it's because they're making so much extra money now because they lowered their detention rate. So think about that. Any driver who pulls an Uber freight load now, they'll give you a $20 credit once a week. But they also lowered their detention rate by $35 to make it the national average of $40 an hour after 2 hours. But they went a step above, too, because they also told the shippers, we'll move it at a zero profit. Any load that has to do with restocking our grocery chains or anything, we'll move at a zero profit margin. I wouldn't believe that one if I were a shipper. Who knows? Maybe it's true. Maybe they will. But I don't know, because a company like that needs to make money. And if they're not making any profit on a shipment and they're also giving away $20 when they just gave the big proverbial middle finger to truckers. What was it, a month ago when they lowered their truck order not used, lowered their truck or detention rate and lowered their layover rates to well below what the industry standard should be? But you know, as soon as they put out that $20 meal credit once a week, if you haul Uber freight loads, they probably had 50 carriers flock to it. I guarantee it. Probably not even 50. They probably had 500 carriers flock to it and be like, oh, we're going to get free food. Man, news. Maybe I should start doing that. Should I be like, hey, listen, go make this pickup for me and I'll have lunch delivered to you. Because here's the kicker. I'm a broker, so I'm just going to take that lunch money from you before I sign the load. I don't know. It was really a stupid thing, and they put out a press release like they're doing, you know, like it was a good thing. I just didn't get it. Is it good for shippers? Yeah, but, and here's the kicker. The shippers that may have been on the fence about doing it, but they're not happy with their broker provider now, or they're not happy with their current supply chain issues, but they were on the fence about going to work for to Uber, those guys now that they're getting zero profit, or that Uber made the statement that it's going to be zero profit, that they're going to get customers out of it. In terms of a marketing ploy, it's good, but those aren't going to be the good customers you want. Because if you entice people and say, hey, listen, we'll ship for zero profit margin, when you try to go put profit on the load, those are going to be the shippers that catch it. And they're like, no, I'm not doing this. Or maybe the reason why they do it is to get people in and say, listen, now you're shipping non-essential, so we're going to put our national average profit rate, because everyone knows brokers make so much money that Uber's national average broker rate. I'm going crazy here. Whatever. Donald Turney asked on Facebook, where do I find the industry standard for detention, truck order not used, layover, all that good stuff? There is no industry standard. So I'll give you two versions of it. What the industry, i.e. freight brokers, call the industry standard, and not me, but what they call the industry standard is this. $40 an hour for detention. If you're lucky, a lot of them still try to pay 35 or 30, I've seen as well. 150, stupid. $150 truck order not used and a $250 layover. And that's what most of the big brokers are still stuck on that way. Me, a couple of weeks ago, I guess it was when Uber put out their press release that they reduced their detention rate, which got them the capacity in the first place, they reduced their detention rates, layovers, and truck order not used to become industry standard, which is paying, you know, a subprime price. Think about it, because here's the industry standard. Here's your real calculator on figuring out what the industry standard is. How much do you want to make per day in your truck? And figure, okay, now you have that number, whether it be $70, $80, $700, $800, or $1,000, whatever the case may be. But you have a goal. Like when I had my trucks, it was $1,000 a day was my goal to make the truck. Now, if, say you have 10 hours driving per day and you have to sit at a shipper. Say you have 10 hours per day and your goal is to make $1,000 per day. How much do you need to make an hour to make that goal? That truck needs to make $100 an hour. So in theory, your detention rate should be what your goal is to break even or to make money for that day. The thing about detention is detention's been the same rate since I started in this business 15 years ago. We paid the same back then as we do now. So there needs to be a change in it. It's not something a government can't step in and say, hey, freight brokers, you need to now pay your carriers $70 an hour. I don't. With my shippers, they all know. We pay $75 an hour, as close to it as possible, after 2 hours. Because it's not my responsibility to make sure the rate has enough in it for you to float those 2 hours. It's your job. But $75 an hour is what I think is a good bare minimum for a detention rate. When I did trade show centers at the Javits Center, which they're now, or trade show pickups and deliveries at the Javits Center in New York, where they're now going to put in 1,000 ICU beds or whatever the hell they're going to do there. But I charged $75 an hour for detention, and that was 10 years ago. And they paid it every single time. And I sat in there with my little laptop and watched Netflix or videos or whatever the hell I did in the truck for hours because we had to stage and wait for the load. But that's truck order not used and layovers is by the same calculation. If your layover, if you get to a place at 10 o'clock in the morning and you sit for 3 hours and they don't load you and then they're like, we're not going to get you till tomorrow morning. Think about all the money you just lost. You lost a day. Are you going to be able to get $1,000 from any broker? No. But an attainable layover rate should be $500 or whatever your cost is for that truck. Are you going to be able to get it all the time? No. But if you sit and you say, listen, these are my rates, and every now and then you pick and choose, and if we have 10,000 carriers across the United States and all of a sudden one day said, hey, listen, we'll take that load. I know you don't have a lot of money in it, whatever. We know you're taking high profits, Mr. Evil Broker, whatever you guys believe brokers do all the time. But if I have every single carrier that's telling me, hey, listen, after 2 hours, it's $75 an hour, I'm putting it on the Raycon to move the load because I need trucks in order to make money. That's how a freight broker makes a living. So, and I'll put it on the Raycon and then I'll just hope like hell you don't have detention. But that's only for appointment loads or where it's strict. If you've got first come, first serve loads, typically, no, those don't pay detention after any amount of time. And the reason they don't pay detention after any amount of time is because you get there when you want. If you get there early and you wait, you're going to get offloaded quicker. But I know a lot of other people say, well, no, you know, a lot of brokers use first come, first serve, even though they know there's an appointment. And unfortunately, yes, a lot of brokers do. And those are scumbags, in my opinion. If you know there's an appointment, be honest and say there's an appointment. My worst one is when I hear of a driver that goes to like a Walmart or something and he finds out, well, my appointment was 2 days ago. I had there was one driver that one time said he took a load for a broker and he was supposed to deliver on a Monday and he got there on Monday it was funny. So he picked it up. It was like an 800-mile run. He picked it up on Thursday. His Raycon said he had a delivery appointment for Monday. He gets there Monday morning. They said, your appointment was yesterday at 8 o'clock. He calls the broker, and the broker's like, well, yeah, the Raycon says 8 o'clock Monday, but I figured you'd get there by the time for the appointment. So you're just going to have to hold on to the freight until we get it rescheduled. Because that's what all idiot brokers sound like, to be honest. I know a bunch of you guys have heard brokers that sound just like this. They're the dudes of the office. Anyway, but this carrier's like, wait, you think I'm going to sit because you thought I was going to deliver early? No, I did my 34-hour reset. And the broker's like, well, I don't know what to tell you. And the guy's like, well, find a place for me to drop this shit off my truck because I'm not going to sit here. Otherwise, I'm going to go donate it. And the broker's like, well, okay then. And they figured it out. I don't know. But that was a really good one. Let me I just went way off on a tangent there. I apologize. I don't know if that sounds funny when, but like in my headphones, the way I'm saying that cracks me up. It sounds funny as hell. I don't know if it sounds funny through the microphone. So I apologize if it doesn't, but in my ears, it sounds funny as hell. All right. So we talked about the new applications. You guys know diesel price is low as hell right now. We all know it's low. Oil prices continued to fall this week, triggered by tensions between Russia and the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries, or OPEC, nations. The national average fell to 2.659, down 0.74 from last week, and 16 cents from the week before. Gas prices are even cheaper. But then I grabbed this little fancy infographic. You like this one? Bada boom. That's pretty sweet, right? And then let's get to the nitty-gritty. And I already talked about a lot of this earlier today. I seriously want to talk in that voice for the rest of the broadcast, but I won't do it. But here's a commercial. I'm losing it. It's late. That's why I made the video early. Here's a commercial. I'm simply
What's a singing goat have to do with factoring? Nothing. OTR Capital. Better than the rest.
It's kind of funny because I just realized that voice that I do in the show, that or in that commercial, cracks me up. And it kind of reminds me of this. Anyway, it reminds me of... I should call it my TQL voice, right?
What are you talking about, bro?
Anyway. According to DAT Solutions weekly trend lines update, which you guys can all access for free. If you go to DAT.com and click on the trend lines tab, it's got a whole pile of helpful information and facts and trends and all sorts of stuff for you. But they have this fancy little infographic that I publish on my website, FreightBrokerLive.com. And you can see that spot load posts across all modes were up 4% for the week. Spot truck posts were up 2%. A guy called in once. A guy called in, I don't know, what was it? A couple of weeks ago. And he's like, I never post my truck. And I get that because from a broker standpoint, one of the things we do when we find quotes and when we try to get quotes is we look at trucks that are posted. So if I go and I'm looking at a load and DAT is telling me $2, truck stops telling me $3, my little internal system is telling me 250, then obviously my average is 250. But if I go into, and that's just an example. If I go into the truck stop and I look at trucks and I see 250 trucks within 75 miles, I know I'm covering that load for well under what the DAT national average is, which is oftentimes not, it's not flawed, but that's what, where people are getting their rates from. That's where, you know, the way they get their rates are what reported rates are. They're not exactly accurate based on new data that I'm starting to see, but I think it's because they're on a 2-week lag, and the data that I have access to now through an awesome, I can't say it, but I could see real-time rates within the hour, and they're not predicted rates. They're real rates. It's pretty incredible. And eventually I'll be able to announce it, but I can't do it yet. Anyway, van to truckload rates were up, or van to truckload. Can I talk today? Van to load to truck rates are up 11% from last week. Spot rates were up 5%. According to my information, they were up 4.9%. So pretty darn close in terms of DAT and my other source. Flatbed loaded trucks were up, or flatbed was down 16%, which, like I said, we expected that because everyone started pulling box freight and reefer because the exempt freight and restocking shelves and all that shit. So, but DAT according to that, spot rates were still up, and they were, according to my proprietary source. It was up about 2% last week. And then here's the kicker. Reefer load to trucks went up 26.1%. So last week was a very good week to haul reefer because rates went up 11%. Load to truck volumes went up 26%. So brokers had freight that they needed to move. And in order, if that load to truck ratio is high, then that means you have more wiggle room in terms of rates as a carrier. So you're going to be able to, if I have a load for $2 a mile and you call and you say, well, this broker over here is offering $2.75, but I like you and I want to haul your freight. And I'm like, okay, just move it. I don't know what's with the accents. This is what happens, the damn coronavirus. By the time this thing's over, I'm going to be a goofball, completely lose my mind. Yeah, and according to OTR Analytics, who are the GOAT of factoring, according to Anthony Zotto, VP of Sales at OTR Capital, we have shown a weekly increase in the spot market of 4.1%. Reefer rates saw the largest spike at 11.79% increase over last week. And just in case you didn't know, that data is provided to all OTR Capital clients for free. More information, contact Anthony at OTR Capital. And you can find that if you go to this article and then you, where it says contact Anthony, you can click on that and then it will open up like a mail to box. And again, this for now, because this is a featured infographic, you can either go over here to the search box, which you can't see on your screen because I screwed up and it zoomed in too much. But there's a little magnifying glass. You could type in state of trucking, or you can go over to that and type in infographic, or you could see it right here. I don't know where the hell it is. You have to just find it on my website. I also share it on Facebook and all that stuff. But there's a quote I used. It's one of our viewers that watches quite a bit. She sent me a quote, and she was talking about, I forgot, what's a Canadian version of Dunkin' Donuts? Tim Hortons or Tom Hortons or whatever the hell it is. But they basically close their restaurants for walk-in customers for everybody except truck drivers. Super nice. You know, dining room seating was only open to truck drivers. She sent me a photo of it. She said, have you seen this? And I said, no. And then today it's all over the place. But I asked her because she's a driver. I'm not. I have the comfort of sitting in my house every single day. So I asked her what it's like on the road. What do you see? And she's like, it's been great out here. Everywhere I go, acts of kindness. People on bridges waving. Guys in small town wanting the horns. I don't know. Maybe that's a Canadian thing. Because she said, guys in small town wanting their horns. I think she, I don't know. Maybe that's a Canadian term. I don't know. Shippers with food and water. It's a good time to be a trucker. That's it. That's the reason why people are driving. And that is the kind of reputation, or that's the kind of thing that everybody should be treating driver or treat, whatever. It's thank a trucker. It's not thank your freight broker. Okay. So, you know, and I may share that gold flag out here after now, because for me, when I saw that thin gold line, that was for truckers. That wasn't for logistics personnel or logistics providers. That was specifically for truckers. And I think it's a great idea, but it's only for, you know, that group of people, in my opinion. Again, and my opinion is all that matters because this is my show. As we said, as of this morning, when I originally wrote this article, which you could see, we had 15 states that had stay-at-home orders. As I mentioned in the beginning of the show, we now have 17. It's a pretty big deal. This infographic is fun. I like doing it. Everybody else does infographics, so I figured I would make my own and put them out. And I'm happy I did because I like it and it's fun to put out and good stuff. Call-in line is active. Now is the time for questions. If you got questions in the comments, type them in. Or if you aren't afraid to hear your voice on a podcast and radio show, live talk show, call in, please. 914-803-4008. Phone lines are open for about 10 minutes before I'm going to wrap this thing up and drink or do something, sleep, whatever. And see what the deal is. I don't know. I'll probably end up typing another article like I always do. Jeffrey Child on Facebook said, I've been told a time twice now, and the hotshot guys have let so many people down. They told me to be there hours beforehand. I got you. Here's another thing that was interesting too. The OTR analytics, it breaks down hot shot rates as well. And hot shot rates were also up nationwide in the past 7 days. I think they were up. They had a pretty good increase from last week too. In terms of actual invoice amounts, I think it was 9 or 10%. I don't remember. I don't have it in front of me. But it was pretty cool. The data is awesome. I can't wait till I have access to the raw data. If I ever get it. They may not get it because I'm just going to, you know, play with it all the time and look at it and be like, wow, look, trucking's not that bad. But it's kind of funny if you think about it. If the total invoices for that company, if they're, you know, I'm not even going there. It's funny when you actually think of big numbers. It's funny. But yeah, you've been told twice now to get there early because hotshot guys have ticked people off. And that's a problem too. And no offense to hotshot guys, but some of you guys have no business driving a truck. Just like big trucks, you know, there's drivers out there that have no business driving a truck. I've hired a couple of them for when I had hotshots out as well. And it's you're looked at in a different light. But then again, I mean, it's hotshotting. It is kind of a different thing. It was never, in my opinion, it was never meant to be mainstream like it is now. And I think that's part of one of the problems. You know, I've said numerous times as a broker, if I quote something and it's a 25 foot and 8,000 pounds or something. Yeah, that's a partial for a van, or I'm sorry, that's a partial for a flatbed. But if I put that on a hotshot, they're going to try to give me a full truckload rate, you know, and a lot of times they are pulling that load as a full truck, you know, and I could be offering $1.10, $1.20 a mile and they're pulling that freight and they're moving it as a full truck. And that also drives down the rates for the rest of you flatbed guys. You know, because if I know I can cover it on a hot shot for less than what it's going to cost me for a step or a flat, clearly I'm going to put it on the hot shot and try to make more money off of it. You know, that's the truth. But I'll scroll up in the comments, see if we have anything else. Otherwise, I'll just end this son of a gun early. Laz on Facebook said so many starting brokerage because they think they're going to be bringing in the serious money. Yeah, it's a lot. I mean, I saw an email today that went out. I'm not going to say who, but you know, a trucking company closed down, and the trucking company has a lot of dedicated carriers because of their role. They're an LTL carrier, or were, and they're planning on closing down. An email was sent out, and it said, "Hey, listen, this company's closing down. Go get their customers. This is a good source. You could find leads in this area because they had it pretty much locked down." And there's a lot of regional LTL carriers that have that. And is it wrong? No, it's actually correct. It's a good sales lead. But then again, just like I've talked about in my training seminars and all that stuff, it's super easy to prospect and to get customers. It is not a very hard job. A lot of people think it's super hard and it's hard to convert. But to make a list and to call and I mean, right now, there's anywhere from 100 to 700 people, you know, that just got laid off from a job the completely wrong way, like I've talked about before. But those people are all excellent salespeople because you can't fault TQL on their sales process. Their sales process, from what I've been able to understand over the past week, is brilliant. It's brilliant. If I was going to start another brokerage, which I never would, I would literally model it after, you know, what TQL has done over there in terms of sales and the tasks and the goal levels. And you want to hear something crazy? Shit, now I got to talk about it again. So the article I wrote yesterday talked about goals, and it talked about the medium. They expect their brokers, from what I understand, they expect their brokers to make $4,000 a week in GP. And I was thinking to myself, damn. Can you imagine if I continuously made, or even if that was a goal, to make $4,000 a week in GP as an agent, because that's what I am, or as a freight broker yourself, you know, where you own your own brokerage and not as an employee? That's more than I make now, you know, because I'm doing this crap and being a journalist. But, you know, and it sucks because my customer's getting busy. So, as I was telling one of my advertisers, I may have to start brokering in the morning because I'm not going to let my customers suffer because I'm doing this. And to make extra money wouldn't be bad. But then again, I got to wait till the whole coronavirus crap stops. But yeah, it's crazy. Tim Ritter, yeah, call in, buddy. 914-803-4008. Call in, I'll answer it. So Tim Ritter, is a carrier or a broker. I don't really know. I think he's a carrier. And he sent me a message earlier today, and he's got quite the double brokering story here. So let me play this OTR commercial again while we're waiting for him to call in, and then we will go from there.
I'm simply the best, better than all the rest, yeah, better than anyone, I'm the best.
What's a singing right. goat have?
What's up? Tim, you here?
Hi. Yes, sir.
All right, let me crank up this volume so everyone's going to be able to hear you. All right, so tell us what happened, top to bottom.
All right, so I received an email Friday from a Marco individual that I guess it sent out to multiple companies out there, saying that there was a dedicated lane coming out of Charlotte, North Carolina, going to Gainesville, Florida. And whenever I seen this, it was listed by a Bonneville logistic. Whenever I seen it, I thought it was a pretty good opportunity at $900 a run going through North Carolina. They said they had dedicated backhauls with it. Right. In the process, I got set up with the company, did a carrier pack with the company. The contact name was Tracy, did a carrier pack and everything with them. Everything was great. I ended up getting a phone call the very next day. Asking for a update on that load that we picked up. And the update or the check call came from Transfix. At the particular time, I had never worked with Transfix, so I wasn't sure who they were. And I asked them what part they had in this. They ended up telling me that they were the actual broker on this load. Right. You know, I confusingly explained, you know, no, I set this up with First Star Logistics, lady named Tracy Catt, and you know, that's as far as I knew. And he was like, well, you know, I'm confused. Or did you double broker this load? Did you send it up to somebody else? So at first they, you know, they came at me not sure where, you know, who did this or who didn't do this.
Right.
After investigation of probably 2.5-3 hours between Transfix and myself going back through emails, I just asked the simple question. I said, okay, so who are you paying for this load? He said, you know, he told me my company name. At right. which point I said, okay, so what are you paying on this load? And he said, we're paying $1,100. I said, okay, so there's your answer. It's being double brokered because I'm getting $900 is right. my contracted rate with my rate con. Back and forth a little bit. Then Tracy, I sent her a comment I sent her an email regarding this to explain that, you know, we're not looking at doing business with her anymore. And from here forward, I will bill directly through Transfix.
Right.
Well, since that email, I actually got contacted later on this afternoon after I sent you a comment by a dispatch company saying that they wanted to send me a bill for $100 for this load whenever it had nothing to do with anybody but technically Transfix and myself.
Who was the dispatch company?
I can't remember the name of the actual company. It was like three different letters, but I remember the gentleman's name was Washington. And I actually, you know what? I had a phone number. I can't pull it up while I'm on the phone though.
Well, send it to me afterwards.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'll send it to you that way. But all this started, and I'm trying to pull the email right now. All this started from a simple email that they sent out to multiple carriers requesting, companies if they're interested in running this particular dedicated route.
Right. Yeah. And you know what? Did you confirm with the broker, Transfix, or whoever, what the bank account information on the carrier packet said?
Yes. And that's something we had to update completely. So it had,
right. So they had their own
MC number.
Right.
Yes, correct. It had my MC number, my DOT number, all my insurance, but it had their W-9 and their bank account information.
Right. So do you know that even though you said they were trying to make $200 off it, you probably would have never seen that $900.
That to be honest, you know, I'm unaware. I've never dealt with this scenario before.
Right. In my life. Well, that so basically, and just so the listeners and the people that are watching understand it, he booked a load with who he thought was the broker, except the broker, which was a dispatch service or a scammer, whatever you want to call him, took his carrier packet, sent it to Transfix or whoever the broker was, booked the load under his name and number, but they switched the bank account information. Then they told him they'll pay him $900. He was happy with it. But when he, I guarantee what would have happened, you would have delivered the load. You would have billed this five-star whatever scammer group they are. They would have billed Transfix with your bill of lading. They would have gotten the money that was designated for you in the first place, and you would have got the you know, stiff arm there. So they were whatever they were doing is super illegal, and that's why any information you could find, including emails, I won't publish it, but I'm going to definitely look into it because I'm very curious to see if, Laz, if you're still watching, if this is the same three-letter lady that we jumped on the other day. Because Laz and I both don't like dispatch services too much unless they're legit, you know. And there's a lot of them going around, and this is just another reason why all dispatch services should have a bond, because then they don't have to double broker stuff like this. And I mean, I'm glad you called in because it's really helpful for people that haven't experienced it to hear it.
Absolutely. So, you know, I even tried to do my due diligence, and I'll send you this email as well. It had a DOT number and an MC number. So I searched that back in, you know, through the load board service I use, DAT.
Yeah.
And I searched to look at their information to make sure they had a good credit payment terms. They have all that stuff set up good. So I'm assuming that they do some legitimate business, possibly, or, you know, they paid for the credit service. I don't know. But unfortunately, this was going to get a lot worse if we didn't get a check call, and we kind of just lucked out on it.
Yeah, definitely send me all your information because I will, or all the information regarding this, because I'll write an article. Hell, I'm in quarantine here in Florida. I'll spend entirely too much time digging into it to get to the bottom. I mean, you would think it would be identity theft if they sign the actual transcript. If they sign the actual broker packet with your information, then I would call the police personally. Depending on how big of a stink you want to make, especially today that you got a bill. Like, please send me that bill too.
Yeah,
because I want to see that.
He asked for my email for the bill, and I refused to send the bill to him or send him my email address. But
yeah, if you could find the phone number, find whatever you can. Send me. Do you have my email address?
I do believe I've seen it there on your web page, on the Freight Broker Live web page.
Yeah, it's all the way down at the bottom. It's live at freightbrokerlive.com. But please send me that information because that it'll make a good story. You know, I'll look into it and I'll record them all and put it on blast. And you know what the thing is? You caught it. So think of how many people, they don't catch this. You know, think of how many people get scammed. Absolutely. And this could be potentially one of the, Laz said he believes it would be in violation of interstate trade laws. It's fraud, no matter which way you look at it. I'm sure if that's why, let me do it. I'll do all the research for you and then I'll send you the article so you could take it right to a prosecutor and say, hey, listen, look, this journalist wrote everything down for you so you could do, your job is now easy. And because it's wrong. And it gives, again, I'm big on keeping the name logistics and trucking honorable. And that's why I jumped on TQL. That's why I jump on everybody. That's why I jumped on myself a lot too, you know, and this is what gives trucking a bad name. And if it was up to me, I would go after every single person that does this kind of stuff. But
absolutely.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for having me on.
No, thank you for sharing, bud. And I look forward to seeing those emails.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Bye. Yep. All right. To answer your question, Orlando Landois on Facebook. Yes, they did have an MC. He said he looked up the MC and it was active. That's why it really doesn't make any sense. And that's why I want to look into it. Because he said they do have an active MC and it looks, he said, according to DAT, he checked them and they look like they were approved by TriumphPay because that's who DAT uses on their website. So I'm curious. I have contacts within that too. So if that, if this does turn out to be a case of fraud, then I think they're going to, it heads will roll. And you guys know, when I find something I'm interested in, I research it until I can't anymore. And then I find new stuff to research about it. That's the way I do stuff. That's how I know so much about TQL's operation. It's because, one, I'm personable. I mean, who wouldn't want to talk to me? And secondly, I don't really give up easily. You know, so I want to report on things that are good, things that are current, and things that could potentially help other people. That's the real reason I wrote about TQL, is because I think it really serves as a guide for anybody that's a freight broker on what not to do if you're forced with a tough choice of laying off employees. It's basically, don't do it, because I'm going to make you look like an ass, because you know you did an ass thing to do, whatever. But I'll work on that story if I get anything. If anyone has stories like this, you're more than welcome to shoot me an email and I'll work on it. One thing that I'm going to be doing today or tomorrow that's a little bit different, because I find that I've been spending too much time on the phone, and I know I make my shows. The shows are free. They're paid for by advertising and sponsors, but I can't spend hours and hours and hours on the phone with people as much as I would want to, because why? I got to put out articles. I got to run my businesses and stuff. So what I'm going to be doing in lieu of the training programs until I get it all set, what I'm going to do is I'm going to block in some time and use calendar or whatever. And I'm going to put on my website and you guys can block out some time and pay. I'm not going to charge a crap ton. It just makes me extra money so I can keep doing this. But it also, if you want to talk about, you know, training or sales, or you want to talk about starting a dispatch service the right way, or getting involved in a trucking company and filing for your numbers, I could file a brand new authority from start to scratch, teaching you how to do it yourself so you could help all your friends and shit when they want to do it. But I could teach you that in about 20 minutes, you know, and everything will be in an hour block. So that'll be up, and I'll probably throw out an article too. That's on the website. Just my thing, guys, if you see me make a video like this, not the daily Corona, you know, updates that I put out or what that I'm live streaming, those don't need to be shared. But if you see this video out, or you see an article that you read on my site and you like it, on the bottom of every single page on my article, which is, this is not the page. Whoop, that isn't either. So if you see, like, here's my website. This is freightbrokerlive.com. If you see an article that you like and you open it up and it works, because you actually click on it, you can go down here and share the post. It's super duper helpful for me when people share these posts out and more people will read them, and it helps me quite a bit. So if you see my article and you like it, share it out. Even better, what you could do down at the bottom, there's a whole section right here where you can leave a comment or a reply. I see them. If it's a question that I that's directed at me, I'll answer it for the most part. There's a lot of people that will have conversations back and forth. I just really want the site. Plus, I have a whole forum built in here too. If you go into the virtual truck stop, let me scroll up. I think my page is zoomed way in. Does it show it? Yeah, it kind of does. Oh, and speaking of proofreading, last, you know, I had virtual spelt wrong for the past like 2 months, to be honest. It's kind of funny. But if you go to Trucker's Lounge, that is a forum. And it's not really used, but it's up here. Well, it's not. I got to reactivate the plugin. But there's a forum there that I'll activate. Again, I had issues this weekend with the website keeping up, so I had to deactivate a lot of stuff. But there's a forum on there, and then there will be like book a training block or something. And that's essentially for whatever you want it to be for. If you want to talk about what it's like to file your own authority or plan or business plans, just keep in mind, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not an accountant, although we do have a partner, Bookkeeping It Simple, who is an advertiser with us. I'm going to get her ads up here pretty soon. She's a bookkeeper specializing in transportation and logistics and forwarding as well. And she's a wealth of resources. She wrote the article about the SBC or SBA loans the other day, and she's super eager to write articles about finance and trucker finance and budgeting and stuff. So I'm actually going to create a whole new section for her just to plug out some information, because she she likes to write, and she's been talking about it quite a bit. So her ads will be up there. So if you're ever looking for a bookkeeper for your trucking company, your brokerage, someone to help you out to understand bills and pay on time and all sorts of stuff, her ads will be up there. That's bookkeepingitsimple.com. And then we got all of our normal ads. We got Trucker Tools, who are the one app that every driver should have on their phone, and broker, because they have all the tracking capabilities and all that. We have our podcast, which is freightbrokerlive.com, which you guys got to listen to. It's awesome. And we have, who else we got? That Load Board is an advertiser with us, just waiting for a couple more things, but you'll start seeing those banners and a couple more ads. Because they're going to advertise with us. And frankly, as much as everyone make crap on them, including myself sometimes, they're the best load board. They're the ones that I'm the most comfortable using. I've been comfortable with using them for years. And they're the ones that I'm always going to refer to everybody. And then we have OTR Capital. Need I say more? OTR Capital is like the best factoring company ever. So I don't really need to talk more about them. I will make another video tomorrow at this time. 7 or 8 o'clock, probably 8 o'clock. And then hopefully when the whole coronavirus stuff is over, I will transition back to doing the videos during the day. But it is like, literally, it is like a zoo here during the day. And so I cannot do very much of anything except try to have these headphones on because they're noise canceling, and listen to metal very loud so I don't hear anybody else in my house. Because otherwise I'm like, shut up all the time. Because that's the problem with working from home. Not me working from home, but them working from home. It's loud as hell. But with that said, I think I'm going to wrap this show up. So let me get this up. So here's that good song that I was playing before, which is a great song. And we'll see you later. So Perseus. On my website again, check tomorrow on freightbrokerlive.com. There will be a calendar thing. You'll see it. It'll say like book a time or something. You can just book an hour-long block and we could talk about whatever you want. Make sure you download the Freight Broker Live podcast. Give it a rating, a good one. If you don't like it, don't give it a rating. I don't care. It's this show. It just helps me to support everything and build everything up. See you guys later.